Pastor Michael, we're in a series discussing questions about heaven and hell. And today's question is, how will the new earth be different than our current earth?
Okay, so we just recorded an episode, season 3, episode 9, where we talked about what will the new earth be like. And one of the things we said is that there's kind of no way to encapsulate all of it, right?
Yeah.
To have a curseless home where heaven and earth are converged again, the spiritual and the physical, et cetera. But let's highlight just a few things. This is not meant to be exhaustive. It's actually meant to be more intriguing and fun and encouraging. And so here's a couple ways that the new creation or the new earth is going to be not just better, far better than our current one. So this is going to be a little strange, but I hope this begins to show people why Paul says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Okay. So the new earth will have, this might not sound like a big deal until we explain it, a far better source of light. So right now we have light, we have lights, we have the sun, we have the moon, we have stars that kind of govern everything. That is not the way the new earth is gonna function. Okay. So Revelation 22:5 says this: night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. All right. So an NDE. Have you ever heard of NDEs, near death experiences?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm a sucker for NDEs. There's a pastor. His name's John Burke. And I was really glad that he published literature on NDEs because I've been looking at this stuff for years and years. And every time I can hear a story, any religion, somebody who dies kind of sees the other side.
Yeah.
I'm just super intrigued by it. So he documents and records 1,000+ of these NDEs. And he kind of shows that the Christian worldview is the only worldview that actually can make sense of what people see on the other side, no matter what they know or don't know of Christianity.
Yeah.
The Bible is the only book that makes sense of it. But here's one of the most common things that people say. There are lesser lights and there is the great light. And they know intuitively the great light is God. He's the light that supersedes all other lights. And the great light is love and knows them thoroughly. And all they want is to be in that light's presence. And the lesser lights, they know serve the greater light, right? And which is interesting because I think Paul says to Timothy, I can't remember exactly where, but God dwells in unapproachable light, right? Glory is actually, the literal word is weight. And it is the weight on your soul that you experience being in God's blinding light, right? It's a very interesting concept. And so it's this idea that when you're in his presence, the weight is so heavy, it is crushing if you have like this kind of body. So here's the idea. The idea is that out of the presence of Jesus emanates light that covers the whole earth. And there is no shadow. There is no night. You don't need stars. You don't need a moon. You don't need a sun. Maybe they're there, but they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Because the light of Jesus pervades everything. So we live in a world where we're like, there's too much light. It's blinding. It's going to burn me. But imagine having a body that was made to be amplified by the light of Jesus Christ. So like we do really, really well in like with a bit of sunlight. We get our vitamin D, makes us happy, makes us tan.
Yeah.
But too much of it, and we're like toast, right?
Right.
Imagine being in the most powerful light that could ever exist, that is so powerful that it permeates every aspect, every molecule in all of creation. And in my brain, I'm like, well, then I couldn't see anything. Well, no, you can see the light and you can see through it and live in it, but it's so pervasive that it's everywhere. So how is it better? When I say there will be a better source of light, people go, who cares? And I think to myself, no, that actually sets kind of the framework for what the new earth is going to be like. How is it different? Everywhere you see is light, but imagine that light pervading every molecule and being emanating from God himself, who is the source of light. And so when in the scriptures, when we're called people of light, you know what I mean? We try to make that a metaphor.
Yeah.
I actually think it's quite a bit more than that.
It's a pretty big claim.
It's almost like a prophetic word of our created destiny. And then here's another one. Okay. This is just for kicks and giggles. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Adam and Eve are in the garden, right? They're in their kind of perfect state. There is I think a really, shockingly probable theory that, Adam and Eve also emanated light just like God did in the garden. And when they sinned, they could see themselves naked and the light went away and they freaked out. Because the angels had a light and when they sinned, all the light was sort of taken away. God's walking in the cool of the day. And they're like, Jesus is like, we can't be near you. Like, what is going on? And so it's an interesting dynamic. So they're kicked out of the presence of God, who is emanating light. And that's why angels are like, you can't come in here, otherwise you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be out of my presence. It's sort of like a picture of Moses and the rock. It's like, you want to see my glory? You mean my light? But the heaviness of my weight would destroy you.
Yeah.
I'll let you see the shadow of my glory. You know, like
it's such an incredible transformation of light. And like you said, the weight and heaviness that will crush you if you're in your current state.
Yeah.
But whenever you're in your resurrected body and the state that we're designed to be, and where heaven and earth are reunited, it's a light that actually brings life.
Brings
and
life.
You want to be near it.
You want to be in it.
Being away from it.
Yeah. Like when the sun's out, you know, when the sun goes behind the clouds and you're like at the beach, you're like, come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but you get like that light on your soul and your body all the time forever. It's pretty, how do you even, like Paul, just imagine. No eye seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared. I'm sorry, I could describe it for you, but like, how do you describe unapproachable light giving life to your soul and body and all creation? And like, you pick up a cup and there's no shadow because the light's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, right, like, what does it even mean?
Yeah.
All right. So it's better in another way. And this is something most people are kind of aware of, but I think it's fun to just consider it. The relationship between animals is no longer cursed. Death is no more. Animals don't have to eat each other. Would you read Isaiah 11, 6 through 9? And I just, the more you think about this, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra.
That's so good.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Yeah. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Like, how do you even begin to like think through a world where like... The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. What? And the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. You have the most like vulnerable thing, a little young goat. You know what I mean? And you have a leopard who eats these things like crazy, you know, and they're just, hey, let's hang out. Or a cobra. I'm like, what's up, bud? C.S. Lewis, again, this is, it's fun to surmise. You know, we when we talk about the new heaven, the new earth, I forget who called it their whole, you use your holy imagination.
Yeah. Right?
And you kind of have to fill in the blanks a little bit. C.S. Lewis surmised that, animals before the fall could talk. And where did he get this crazy idea? He got this idea from Satan, like talking. And the question was, he's like a snake, he's mad, whatever. So, but they weren't like freaked out by an animal talking to them.
Yeah, that's not the way the narrative, they don't like pause in the narrative and say like, why is this animal talking? That's
right.
Not even a thing for them.
It's not. So he surmised that in the garden, animals had an intelligence to them and a communicative intelligence. And that as an act of grace, God made them temporarily dumb until the new creation to protect them from the evil of humanity and the necessity of us having to kill animals for survival and food and clothing. And that in the new earth, that there would be a reanimation, that the creation is longing for the revelation of the sons of God to be not murderous or needing clothing and meat to survive, and that there would be a level of intelligence given back to them. Is it true? I have no idea at all. It's just a fun thing to think about. And so we use our holy imagination, and if it's not true, then whatever. We won't be disappointed. All right, number three, the restoration of an. Some people would say I am inferring. I just don't think so. Okay. You can debate me here.
Yeah.
Okay? The restoration of all plants, animals, and insects to their original full glory. So whatever happened to humans, right? We fell. We fell. So did the rest of creation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So sin began to affect every single part of them. And one of these lines, I just like, I can't stop thinking about it. 99% of all species that have ever existed of animals are extinct. There's so many animals and insects, whatever. And we only have 1% of all the original creation. That's like, first of all, how do they know that stat? I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, even if it was 50%, I'd be like, there's a lot of creation I have not ever seen before because they're dead and gone and they're never coming back, you know?
Yep.
And so there's this fun list that I made, right? So I preached on this a while back. And so it's kind of fun to
remember.
Think about the T-Rex. Like, that's going to be back. That's awesome. Or the Megalodon, like this huge mammoth sea creature that you can't even like get your head around. Yeah. Like this enormous shark.
My son was just asking me questions about dinosaurs because we just watched the movie The Night at the Museum.
Oh, such a good movie. That
and
one,
yeah. He had lots of questions about T-Rex and bones and fossils and archaeology.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can answer some of this, but like, I'm not an expert on this, so I'll try to do my best.
Yeah, I have questions on that too. But you know, the 2-foot dragonfly, what? Like, what
do you? Not seen one of those.
Yeah, a pre-flood world, right? Like, that's just a ancient scorpions. Titanoboa is a 50-foot long, huge snake. You know, it's like gone and dead. The people out there, like. Wonder if it's actually still in the Amazon somewhere.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's like Anaconda.
Yeah, like Anaconda. Yeah.
Oh, the movie, you know, mega crocodiles, the giant otter, you know, there's one, it's been nicknamed Redzilla. It's like 5 feet tall and it's not like a full rat, but it looks just like, it's just like, it's nuts. And then to be like, hey, I'm going to go ride the T-Rex this weekend. You know, what are you going to do?
Some of these many people that are listening or watching are like, yeah, I'm good without ever seeing any of those.
Which is why the previous point is like so important that like they live in peace with each other.
Right?
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so you don't have to freak out about this. And it's so finally, last one on the new earth, it's going to be far better because you're going to have full access to the tree and to the river of life. So we have been restricted access because Adam and Eve sinned when they ate the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. If they ate the tree of life, they're forever doomed. So God in his grace removes them so they cannot have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
What I love here is Revelation 22. We get just kind of full access to this like eternal life and the tree of life. I don't know what the fruit is going to be. Pretty excited to eat it. I don't think it's an apple. I think there are better fruits than that. But could you read just Revelation 22, 1 through 3?
Yep. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed.
I don't know about y'all, but give me that any day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm ready. T-Rex, no curse, no war, presence of Jesus, the light of God everywhere, animals getting along. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And we talked about it before in other conversations, but the fact that I think a lot of people have this vision of new heavens, new earth as almost like it's something eternal that we almost feel trapped. Like, again, our minds can't comprehend the infinite, but this idea of like just kind of sitting around like with harps and just singing for all of eternity. And I think we need to make sure everybody like understands we're rejecting that. And like, that's not what scripture teaches.
Yep.
And this idea of worship, right? We're worshiping for all of eternity, but worship isn't just singing. It's, it's going to look a lot, like you said, like it's going to look a lot like what the world looks like now, but far better. So
far better,
it's like what we know, but it's also, we don't have any idea because we've never lived in a world without the effects of sin and death. But this is like the fact that we have restored full access to God and that God is the source of light and how I think probably we just don't have a full understanding of like the significance of that before we were talking about it here.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know what we should do? We should record an episode on what are we going to do on the new earth? Oh, wait a minute. That's coming up.
We are going to do that.
That's coming up.
So stay tuned.
Yes.
Thanks, Pastor Michael.
Yeah.